The internet has given everyone in America a voice, and evidently everyone in America has chosen to use that voice to bitch about movies.
This is a site populated by militant movie buffs. Sad, pathetic little bastards living in their parents' basement, downloading scripts and what they think is inside information about movies and actors they claim to despise and can't stop discussing.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 14 of the PDF Screenplays podcast. Today we're going to be talking about The Hangover and the Marty McDonough, is that his name?
I think so.
The script Seven Psychopaths. So which one do you want to talk about first? I just read Seven Psychopaths this afternoon. I got some opinions about it, and I know you really enjoyed it. So if you want to go ahead and talk about it, that's fine. You can give a little rundown. I mean, as much as you can kind of tell the plot.
I was going to say, how do I even...
It's
about a writer who's writing a script or book or whatever called Seven Psychopaths, and he's looking for stories and taking from people that he, his friends, I guess, taking from their stories and put them into his script, and at the same time writing his life, I guess. Very adaptation-y.
It's a complete rip-off of adaptation.
Just with a different genre.
With a different genre, yeah. You told me how much you liked it. So you, other than just how badass some of the characters are, which I'm thinking that's what you enjoyed, I think that's what you got out of it.
Yeah.
Is that where, like, you got the most
entertainment? Yeah, from dialogue and characters.
From dialogue and characters. And I would agree with that. The characters are funny. They're, you know, relentless. They are psychopaths. I mean, everyone ostensibly except the Marty character is a psychopath in one way or the other, except for the girlfriends and the wives, which it is then actually brought up in the dialogue how the wives and girlfriends are just cardboard caricatures. It's the most self-aware screenplay I think we've read.
Yeah.
Which it got too self-aware, I think, and it just for a while there I didn't know if I was watching a movie about a screenplay. I mean, it's going to be tricky to watch. It's going to be, Charlie Kaufman-esque.
Oh yeah, it definitely will.
And I'm sure that's partially why you enjoyed it.
Probably.
Because you got to be a good writer to at least pull that off, at least to the point where people could even understand where you're going.
Yeah, and it's all understandable. I mean, it's not like it's an impossible story to follow or anything.
No. I was confused in a couple spots, but not of the actual trajectory of the story ever.
Yeah.
Just what reality I was in at this point in time.
Exactly. If it was a character's imagination, if it was him writing or not. Which, I mean, I guess that's how you're supposed to. I mean, when you're watching the movie, it's going to be the same way.
How far into development is it?
Not far. Last I heard, Martin's on, like, vacation or holiday or whatever.
Is he going to be directing?
I don't know. He directed In Bruges, so I assume he's going to do this one too.
Man, what a different kind of screenplay than In Bruges. It still has the really good dialogue and the action, but it is the opposite of a straightforward story.
And people are talking about this online about how In Bruges is about two hitmen at the very beginning. Two hitmen get killed off like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he's like, fuck my previous work. It kind of...
I can understand the symbolism there.
Yeah.
I think I have to go back to the self-aware statement. I think it got to the point where it was almost a hindrance, no longer just...
Yeah, because I kind of got really into it, and then it kind of lost me.
Yeah, it made it lose its own momentum.
Back. Yeah.
And which is, because there was a part there before they went out to the desert that I was like, all right, well, this shit's going down.
Yeah.
I think it was once, it was pretty obvious that that one of the characters was a psychopath that is brought up earlier in the screenplay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give too much specifics.
Yeah.
That from there on, it kind of lost momentum.
It did.
I think once the,
once he's brought out, yeah.
I think once the girl is shot in the stomach, I thought that was kind of like the height of it. And, you know, really that's like page 54, 55.
Yeah.
But, and there's still good parts and there's still things to be revealed, but it really starts to lose me. I'm pretty sure that the character of Marty, the writer, his drinking problem.
Yeah.
Might also be a reflection of reality.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying Marty McDonough's, you know, an alcoholic. I don't know.
No.
It seems like he might be.
Just based on the script alone.
Yes, but I mean, have nothing.
He also could be poking, you know.
He could, yeah, he could be poking fun at the writer's stereotype.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of stereotypes he pokes fun at. I think that's actually, like, you could do that a little, but, I mean, he's messing with whole genres.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I loved In Bruges, and it's to that mix of dialogue that's good, it's witty, with also a very complicated storyline. If you can pull it off, it's going to be something that's worth talking about. I don't know if it's exactly what, you know, is my kind of favorite, but I can appreciate for what for it is.
Yeah.
There was a point when I thought, I think I might hate this. And then there was a part where I'm like, I think I might really like it. So if it can do that to me in a matter of 116 pages, I guess that's saying something.
Exactly.
So, yeah, what do you think?
I think it's good. I mean, I've already said that. It's not like it's mixing any genres at all. I mean, it's pretty much...
it's not
I
mixing
any. It's
anything.
The same type of genres in Bruges, and it just kind of tells a different story.
How did you like the very ending where... The one character finishes Marty's story? Like, did you like that?
Oh no, that was my least favorite part.
Okay,
whenever he let
he finishes the Vietnam story for him.
Yeah,
and he reads it. I mean, I don't know if he necessarily finishes the Vietnam story for him, but he reads a version
over,
of it. Yeah. It wasn't very good.
It was my least favorite part of it.
Yeah, and I maybe.
Yeah, and I think it's because. The way they build up to it, whenever he takes the papers out of that guy's pocket after he's dead.
I thought it was going to be something simple and something very prophetic, and then that would be the moment of clarity that Marty
was
looking for.
Yeah, and it would
hopefully, because that's a really good opportunity to do that, but he kind of does it in a very, very elaborate and not very satisfying way.
Exactly.
Because Marty's looking to write this epic screenplay where it does have these seven psychopaths because it's the screenplay within the screenplay.
Yeah, but there's no violence.
But there, I mean, there.
That's what
it glosses over the violence because it's the whole point is to be one with nature, and it's very, it's poking fun at the writer trying to be write the great American novel or great American screenplay or whatever. It's poking fun at that. And how this other character just kind of hands it to him on his, you know, his last breath.
Yeah. But I didn't care for it.
No, I didn't either.
I mean, with the build up there and everything, you want to be blown away. And
I don't think that Vietnam storyline is actually properly supported throughout the film.
It's not. No. I mean, it doesn't come back until the very end. And
he actually has to make you remember. He actually says, hey, do you remember this? Remember this scene that was just thrown in here like 20 minutes ago?
Exactly.
If you got to do that.
Yeah.
You're not making fun of yourself. You're not doing a good job.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That was my least favorite part of the script. I thought it lost it. And I really didn't care for the ending all that much with the reveal.
And I didn't care for any. I mean, like, oh, they're psychopaths. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't like any of the characters. I didn't care for the Marty character. The Billy character, I couldn't tell. I mean, obviously, he's a psychopath. I will use that word a million times here.
Yeah.
But
the script does, so we might as well.
Yeah. But is he funny? Is he serious? Is he completely, like, is on his motivations, his real motivations? I mean, are they really just to make Marty have ideas for his story?
I know. It's like that's all that's pushing the story or like pushing ideas into Marty's head is Billy.
Because it doesn't set up that Billy is really that good of a friend.
Exactly. It makes it like they're not even friends at all. I mean, if you actually look at what's going on between them, the only people that seem like friends is Hans and Billy.
Yeah. They actually do, because there's the two beats where Billy shows emotion. The only time he actually shows emotion is with Hans. So it would make more sense if he was doing these things for Hans and not Billy, and or not Marty. And yeah. I actually, when I started kind of figuring out the story about 60 pages in, I thought he was doing all this for Hans.
Yeah.
And I thought that's how it was going to end up.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
I know.
Oh, well.
And also the way Hans goes out, just like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Yeah, I mean, at least he didn't have like the finger gun.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I don't know. And the whole Zachary subplot, pretty weak too. And it's going to take up 10 minutes.
Oh yeah,
and I'm poking holes in it, but it's still a very hard screenplay to write. Like you can't just a novice can't just sit down and write this because it just does. It's too many layers.
Yeah, and we can't explain it either.
Yeah, I couldn't. I don't know if I could if I wanted to.
Exactly.
You know, not caring about giving away any plot points or not. Yeah. I don't think I could. So for that being said, it has to be well written because it did keep with me, even though I think it might be a little above my pedigree. It just some parts didn't ring with me, whereas maybe a straightforward version of this, but a straightforward version of this would be probably besides the point, but still, I guess a straightforward version of this is in Bruges.
Kind of is, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so maybe that's why I like in Bruges so much. Somewhere between a 6 and a 7 for me.
I'd probably give it a 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not... I don't want to say it's totally solid, but as far as dialogue and the way it's written and everything, I mean, he knows what he's doing. It's
he can
not
write
like
the shit
doesn't.
Out of dialogue.
Yeah.
And setting in L.A., I'm not sure about that. That might be just him knowing that he's going to direct it. So he's like, well, I might as well set in L.A. so I can shoot in L.A. for cost purposes. It could be something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like an L.A. story.
It doesn't. You're right.
It feels like you know, with like Kaufman, it's either New York or wherever he creates this world.
Yes.
Where it doesn't, L.A. just seems too plastic.
I know. And it seems like there's very few locations where it would have to be specific. Like Joshua Tree is like that.
Yeah, Joshua Tree, you could
put
that
is it
anywhere.
Even necessary?
No, I mean he goes out of his way to name Joshua Tree, yeah. But it could have been exterior desert day.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I mean. It's not like it's adding to any storyline or anything.
In the first 20 pages, I was imagining New York until it was obvious that it was L.A.
See, I was still in Bruges, dude.
Oh, okay. All right, well. Isn't there somebody on the boards that was in Bruges?
I don't know.
It seems like I heard that. I don't know.
Story of a story.
The story of a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you give it a 7. I give it possibly a 7 on a good day, 6 on a bad day. So I guess that's a 6.5.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's the type of writer that I am genuinely interested in when stuff comes out of his. So, that being said,
interested in it. Like, if this thing actually goes into production, it's not like you're not going to follow it.
Yeah.
Because you will. Because you're that interested and you're that curious.
So, there's got to be something there for it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these screenplays I read, it's like, oh, that was nice. But it was, you know, it was just light and fluffy.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
And
throughout.
The dialogue in this, I mean, this isn't, I don't know. I just want to see the tone in which I hope it doesn't take itself too seriously and not taking itself seriously, if that makes any sense to anyone. Okay, now he's shaking his head. No. All right. Well, they did eat a bunch of peyote in the third act. So.
Yeah, they did do that.
All right. So this weekend, I fulfilled my promise. I saw The Hangover. JC was present. It surprised a lot of people. It came within $1 million of beating Up. I mean, granted, this was the second week for Up, but...
And no one was in the theater we were at, though.
It was... Not I don't want to say no one. Full. It was about half.
About
I would say
half.
I would say about half.
Yeah. And we went opening night. I mean, no one was...
That's true. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's just...
The area?
It must be the area. I mean, if it came within $1 million, I mean, what do you... 44 point something?
That's what Up did. 44.
Okay, so 43 million somewhere in the area, maybe 42. I mean, that's... I mean, you said yourself it did better than Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, it's like the fourth biggest comedy, I think is what I said.
R-rated comedy.
Fourth biggest R-rated comedy, yes.
Yeah, because we can't beat Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2, American Pie 2, and Sex in the City, or what's in front of it.
Oh, man.
For opening weekends. I mean, it's just... But still, I mean, to be fourth for an R-rated comedy and opening weekends,
and
that's huge.
You gotta figure, Wedding Crashers was its kind of its own franchise. I mean, those guys were bankable actors beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then you have American Pie 2, which is building off American Pie, and Bad Boys...
Two, which is
building off the epicness that is Bad Boys, whatever. And then Sex and the City was building off
the TV show.
So, I mean, this
is like the biggest standalone.
Yeah. And when Bradley Cooper is your lead, and it's a standalone story, I mean, that's saying something.
Something was done right, for sure.
Okay, so that being said, my suspicions were confirmed. The shell of the story is the same from the screenplay. After that, dialogue thrown out the window. Pretty much, I'm going to guess it was all written on the spot for the characters once they got there, or for the actors once they got there. And I think when you have Zach Galifianakis, which is one of the best working comedians today, and Ed Helms, who's working, you know, 5 days a week, you know, on The Office, you'd be, as a director or anything like that, you'd be, you know, doing yourself a disservice by not letting those two just kind of do what they need to do to create the best, you know, chances for comedy possible. And they nailed it. And I'm surprised with Bradley Cooper. He always seemed like, you know, Matthew McConaughey's best friends in those shitty romance movies. But he did a really good job in the role he was given. It's not like he was given this really complicated role. He was just like the asshole. And when they can make the jokes and he can just be like, fuck you, which is fine. And he did really well in that. And Zach Galifianakis took that role of Alan, which in the screenplay has kids. He's a very normal guy. He's just out for a weekend in Vegas, and this is really like the biggest thing he's done. In the movie, it's very much not like that. He is now the groom's soon-to-be brother-in-law, and he is just this child trapped in a man's body, really.
It's just really hard to explain his character. It's just so out
he's
there.
He's creepy, somewhat harmless sometimes. I think Ed Helms' character of Stu says the best in a line dialogue when he says, "Alan, you are literally too stupid to insult." And Zach Galifianakis just deadpans it. It's great. Like I said, the shell of the story is the same. Four guys, bachelor party in Vegas. They wake up the next morning, can't remember anything. The groom is missing, so they have to retrace their steps. A lot of the scenes in the screenplay are not there. They've been completely changed around. They've added a lot more characters. That was the thing about the original draft. They ran into maybe five other people that spoke. This had very much, the film itself had very much of a lot of cameos, a lot more cameos of not just known people, but just like bit actors as well. And they added to the comedy, whereas in the screenplay, they were just there for interaction to set up jokes by the main characters. And I think that just gave it that much more, you know, momentum joke for joke. There's only really two times in the film when I was watching it where I wasn't laughing, and it was just trying to set up the next plot point instead of, you know, really making me laugh real hard. And also possibly the greatest closing credits I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, in a long time, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, for the third act being as weak as it is and as predictable and everything, the end credits definitely make up for it.
Yeah, because the jokes really do peter out. I'd say once, a little bit before they find the groom,
exactly.
They finally figure out where he's at, and they save him.
I think, it was a little before that, because that whole scene in the desert with the Asian or Chinaman, whatever.
The Chinese guy. Now, a lot of people found him very, very funny on his own.
I didn't find anything in that scene funny. And that's what I mean. That scene, I was just like, meh.
Yeah.
And it kind of lost me from there on out, and...
And it was just kind of wrapping stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still funny, but it wasn't as funny as it was, I would say, 15 minutes in.
Exactly.
But it had to take care of all the story, essentially, because really, there's about 20 minutes of actual story in there, and the rest is just kind of episodic things.
It's very episodic,
and that's fine. Todd Phillips. Did you notice the cameo by Todd Phillips?
Didn't pay attention.
Really?
I don't even know what Todd Phillips looks like. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll jog your memory. Okay. Near the beginning, they're getting on the elevator, and it looks like some guy's getting blown.
Oh, yeah.
The guy says, oh, we're going up.
Yeah.
And that's Todd Phillips.
Okay.
So.
Whatever.
There's your Where's Waldo of The Hangover.
Yeah. Everyone knew that but me.
So. Yeah, so. And then my favorite band, the Dan Band, is...
The Wedding Band.
Is The Wedding Band, and they sing.
Not as funny in this one.
No, because they weren't sneaking in dirty words to old songs. They were just singing a dirty song.
Exactly.
And it was the exact same shot of the father-in-law just kind of giving that stare.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing as...
Wedding...
No.
Fuck.
Old School.
Old School, yeah.
Old School, yeah.
Why could we not think of that? It's only fucking other thing Todd Phillips has done.
He's done Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you know, comedy-wise. I think this movie's way better than Old School. I think that should be said.
Do you think so?
I still don't like Old School, so...
Oh, okay.
I never understood that movie. Like, why it was so popular, why everyone said it was so funny. Hey, we're going streaking.
Well, it's Will Ferrell, man.
Yeah, we're going
streaking. It was Will Ferrell's come out party.
Yeah, he's going streaking, okay, so that's funny.
Hey, everyone found that funny, man.
Everyone
except
me.
You.
Yeah.
Everyone except you. You soulless husk of a human.
Yeah, there's very little that's funny in that.
I would say, as far as the R-rated comedy, best one since Superbad.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That's...
And I actually... There were parts of Superbad where I was more bored than The Hangover. I think The Hangover is probably better than Superbad.
It might be.
And
I laughed pretty hard at some parts in Superbad. I mean, you're right. There's plenty of other parts, but Superbad does have a little more story, I guess. I mean, when you think about it, when you think about how little the story is, The Hangover...
Yeah.
I guess there is a little more to Superbad.
I'm very interested in the outtakes and the extra scenes from The Hangover, mostly because I just like Zach Galifianakis so much, and I know that 80% of the shit that wasn't used was probably just him rambling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I want to know if Ed Helms wrote that song on the spot.
There's no way Ed Helms wrote that song on the spot.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
I'm pretty sure Zach Galifianakis wrote his song on the spot, but I don't think Ed Helms wrote his on. I just write, you know, it wasn't just like an action play something.
I'm real curious about part two.
Okay.
I mean, if they're going to use the same characters or if they're just going to do like...
They better not do the same story with different actors. No, actually, I don't think they would, because in the interview I read, all three of them...
Said they'd
possibly
do it.
All four. No, not just said it. They're contractually obligated to do another one.
So maybe Ed Helms' character's getting married or something. Or wait, he's already married. Never mind. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, it's not going to be Zach Galifianakis' character.
No, yeah, you wouldn't think.
I mean,
another guy's already married, what are they going
to
do?
I think if it did a sequel, it couldn't be that someone's getting married.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be some, you know, in space.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't even do it in Vegas. Just
no, well, of course, you couldn't do it in Vegas.
Yeah.
It had to be somewhere bigger or better.
Exactly.
I don't know where bigger and better would be.
I don't either. I think Boise, Idaho.
The Boise, Idaho.
They're just going to tear Boise apart one night.
That'd take about 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
We burned down the Dairy Queen. Movie's over. Oh, man. But I enjoyed the screenplay a lot. Like, before I even really saw any sort of press for the film.
Yeah, you read it a long time
ago. I read it a long time ago. It has a hook. It has a perfect, for my demographic, you know, 24-year-old male, that is, boom, that is for me. That's why it did so well. And the screenplay was a really great story, and the way that Todd Phillips just kind of let, you know, the actors just do what they do, it just really brought it to life, even though essentially a lot of the story is different. And I mean, obviously a sequel probably will, if it even gets made, won't be as great. It won't capture that kind of magic. You really can't. Well, apparently American Pie and Bad Boys 2 did, but...
Pie 2 is better than American Pie 1, though.
You think?
I think so. Easily. I mean, it's easily funnier,
I think.
You think
we should debate the merits between Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2?
I don't remember the difference. I mean, I'll be honest.
Oh, man. I'm pretty sure I saw Bad Boys at the theater when I was a tyke.
No, it's probably Bad Boys 2.
You think so?
I don't know. Everyone went to Bad Boys 2, apparently, so.
I don't think I did.
I
you know what? I think one was enough for me.
Man.
like I said, I would probably give The Hangover screenplay probably 7 or 8. I mean, it's just kind of right up my alley for comedy, and they really nailed it with the film. I mean, that's the perfect way to, you know, kind of take a really great story and make it big and make it like a big summer R-rated comedy. They hit the right tone with that. So, 8s all around. What comes out this weekend?
No idea.
Nothing?
No, I don't know.
I'm sure it's something
Moon.
Big.
Moon comes out limitedly.
In New York and LA?
Yeah.
I will probably, maybe, end up watching Extract because I really think it's going to get a lot of press. I think they're going to buy
it. It's still a while away, so it might.
Yeah. I mean, if that trailer was attached to The Hangover, yeah, and this film's got a release date for September, so that's actually, that shows signs of life from the, I have no idea who's releasing it, possibly Warner Brothers.
You know what's weird, though? When that trailer played, it seemed like no one was laughing at it. Was it just me? I mean, it really did. It seemed like no one in theater laughed at all.
No, but I tell you what, there were some piss poor trailers attached to The Hangover.
I don't even remember.
That gamer film?
Oh, God, oh, that looks so bad.
Oh, that looked... Oh, that was an abortion on screen right there.
So bad.
Oh. Are we wanting to meet up with people in Chicago from the website?
I don't know. If we do, we'll do it on next week's podcast.
Oh, so we can't talk about it now? It's just premature.
I guess we can talk about it.
Well, if you happen to be...
in the Chicago area.
2 weeks from... Well, you don't know what now is because we don't release the podcast on the day we record it.
But...
there's a mystery date soon. Yeah. We will be in Chicago. And if you
It'll
are,
be a weekend. We'll be there. We'll be there for like the whole weekend.
The whole weekend, everyone.
The entire weekend.
All both days. Mm-hmm. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk screenplays or something.
Or just drink.
Or yeah. We could play Monopoly. I was really surprised though that Hangover did as well as they did.
Oh, yeah.
Box office was. Winner, Too Close to Call Now. The Hangover was a $35 million movie.
Yeah, and it made 43 already, so.
I'm really, you know what? That film looks better than a $30 million movie. I mean.
You know, honestly, I thought they'd take a lot of fees in Vegas because of the way they kind of ran all over the city.
Yeah.
I thought filming in Vegas would cost more personally, but
I mean, I thought a typical Hollywood film you couldn't make. I mean, it's 35, but I thought you couldn't make a decent. And I say decent in the, you know, you can make a wonderful film for $1 million. You can make an awesome film for $100,000. But I thought the general consensus was like $30 million, and that average was like the lowest you can go and still be making a movie. And here it is, $35 million, and it looks like. Yeah. It looks like a $50 million movie.
Exactly.
I think I think Vegas is a very good backdrop for something like that.
Yeah.
And that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
And
comedies are always cheap. So.
And none of these guys are, you know, Ed Helms and Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, they're not pulling down $10 million a film.
No.
They might be soon.
Who knows? So, I mean,
good. Hopefully they're locked up.
No, I don't know. I don't got anything else.
What do you want to do next week?
I don't know. I have to look at.
Did we have any requests?
Yeah, we got requests on chat. We'll have to do some of those.
I'm pretty much out of reserve tank scripts that I've just kind of read passively.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
So I am now relying on you, the listener, to tell me what to do because I have no shred of originality left. So next week, maybe Naked Gun 4, probably something else. I mean, I don't think we can talk about Naked Gun 4 for a half an hour.
I don't know. We've made this one take forever. It didn't seem like we had much to talk about.
Well, 35 minutes is pretty solid. We had two screenplays, kind of two screenplays.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
All right. Well, we gotta wrap up.
Yeah, we got to get him some food.
Yeah, I'm fucking starving. Oh, man.
Emails? At?
No. Hold on. I want to tell everyone. I want to wrap up what we gave the screenplays. We always do this. We didn't decide this, but it's what we've fallen into. So
oh, okay.
I'm going to repeat the...
well, for Seven Psychopaths, I gave it a 7, and Adam gave it a high 7 on a good day and a low 7 on a bad day.
Yeah, it's a very intricate system that I fall under.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other one I gave 8s. But we already talked about it, but it was... Let's go fucking see it.
Yes, it's a good movie. It's a good comedy.
I tell you what, for a good summer movie, throw your money at it. Most people already have, so.
Yeah.
Okay, email us at
podcast@pdfscreenplays.com
and Twitter us at @pdfscreenplays.
Yep.
Okay, you got the emails. Comment at the shout box if you feel that's what you need to do. Have a good night.
Bye.
What the fuck is the internet?